Trifex of ham, turkey, steaks. Did everybody have a good Christmas day? Blessed, thankful. Amen. Amen. We're going to be in Hebrews, but before we turn there, I want to turn to 1 Peter in chapter 4. We just go there and hopefully it will blend in with the sermon. You know, over the last, month and a half or 2 months, we've been in Hebrews. We've been studying about signs and wonders. The greatest sign and wonder last week was our Christmas service and realizing that the greatest sign, the greatest wonder, the greatest miracle, the greatest gift, as Paul or the writer of Hebrews is trying to express, was Jesus Christ. Still is Jesus Christ. That gift is still open and available. And now, for those of us who consider ourselves, call ourselves believers, it's our responsibility to get that word out. We can't convince anybody. We all know that. You've been listening to me for 40 years, but it's just, we're lips for the light. We need to go out there and just tell people that God loves them. He's not this old man up on a cloud somewhere waiting to punish somebody. He loves us, which was shown right there on that cross, giving your only son. For those like us, you consider yourself. Some might think, it was a good trade or something. But I still wonder, after 43 years of walking with the Lord, why me? And I'm sure you can say, why me, Lord? What have I ever done? The answer to that is nothing. He just loves us. And that's something, for some reason, somehow, it's evaded the main part of our culture, that this is a God of love. So I ask you to turn to 1 Peter in chapter 4. I just want to enter into this with verses 7 through 10. This church, everybody has there's pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib, partial trib, pan theory, whatever works out, it'll all happen. I don't know what everybody's heart and mindset is in that, but this church has been founded all the years on a pre-tribulation theory. So when I read this and I'm thinking about today's sermon and gifts of the Holy Spirit that we're talking about, I feel that this is something that I need to pay attention to. I'm no different than anybody else. I've said that to every one of you. Oh, but you're the pastor. All that means is I accepted a responsibility when Christ called my name and said, I want you to preach my word. That was a yes or a no. That's it, nothing special. But as I look at this, I want to become, in this year to come, if I still have it, because none of us know the time frame that we have left. How much more time can I, speaking for myself, kind of squander, knowingly waste? Now, I'm not saying every single second and minute has to be just compacted with knocking on doors. Don't let your mind go there. What I'm saying is my growth, my usage of what God has given to me, I want to be able to expend that this year more so than I have. Will I do it? Check in with me next December 26th. Well, let's see how we did. Praise God that I might have that much time. It's been, we've watched people pass through our lives for whatever reason. Some have left and their fate has been sealed already. Others have left. And I know with most of you, I just pray that everything that I've ever believed is going to one day come to pass. Your loved ones, my loved ones. One day, that's the joy of this, is that one day I'm going to be reunited. You're going to be reunited. My wife, who right now is cooking breakfast for 10 other members of our family. Sorry that she's not here, but it was a blessing, like the Russian army came to our house yesterday and went through and just left everything all over. But what a blessing. So we have God's word. So let's hear what he has to say, not so much what I have to say. Verse 7 of 1 Peter chapter 4. And this is where I went into being founded on a pre-tribulation, meaning that Christ is going to return before he puts this world through a set of times that it has never been nor ever will be again. So Peter makes a statement, but the end of all things is at hand. How far is at hand? Right there, isn't it? That's at my hand. It's close, is what he's actually saying. It's probably closer than we even imagine or want to realize. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, in the King James. Sober, that means clear-minded. Start thinking. And what I've been saying over the last couple of months is I think that there is a need for critical thinking in the lives of those of us that call ourselves believers. Stop allowing news and whatever else to settle our minds, because I find nothing but unsettlement lately and confusion. But if God says that the end of all things are at hand, be clear-minded. Start thinking for yourself. Don't let somebody else think for you, tell you what to think, tell you how you should be or how you should act. That all goes into that Greek word that we use here, sober, and watch unto prayer. Watch everything that's going on. It's almost like God is saying, let's play connect the dots. Do you ever do that with your kids? They used to sell books of it, you know, that you just connect the dots, and before long there was a picture. All the dots are in here. We need to start connecting them now because the day is at hand. Above all things, he says in verse 8, have fervent charity. That's a decisive, I'm going to make sure. And charity isn't just giving a buck. You know, today it's a lot easier to take a check and stick it in a bag and send it off to Haiti or wherever else. God is saying, I want you to have fervent love among yourselves right now. The mission field is so necessary. We have to support that. If there's missions that are out there that are agreeing with God's word, we're supposed to throw a hat in the ring with that and take care of those people so that they can get the word out. But right here, right now, in our little mission field of Netherlands and yours wherever it might be and yours wherever it might, we are to have this, I'm going to love, fervent charity, not just some cold love, but to use that word fervent among yourselves for love. And I'll stick love in there. Charity is a, you know, again, like I said, it's a word that we sometimes misunderstand when we read that because we think it's just a little bit of giving, giving out of maybe what I have extra. What God is saying is, Doug, I want you to just burn in this love right now. I want you to give it out as much as you possibly can. And we say, oh, but Lord, you know that one person. He doesn't, that doesn't matter. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. For this love, this agape, this godly love that we're speaking about, and the gifts that come with it, and the Holy Spirit that he's given to us, it will cover the multitude of sin. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. Whew. That's a rough one sometimes, isn't it? Says, it's a whole nother sermon. Maybe we'll get to today's sermon. Use hospitality without grudging. How many times have I, after being so excited about something, said, "Why? I better get my head examined. Why am I doing this? Why did I say I'd do this or that?" God is saying, because I asked you to. So somebody could see the joy of the Lord coming out in that love, in that hospitality, in that service and stewardship. As every man, verse 10, has received the gift. Now we're talking about believers. This isn't unbelievers. He's speaking to people who have a relationship with him through his son, Jesus Christ, by the indwelling of his Holy Spirit. As every man has received the gift, which the Holy Spirit, every one of us. Some of us say, well, I don't do this, and I don't speak in tongues, and I don't heal. And we've got the Holy Spirit, the greatest gift given to man, the third person of the Trinity, living inside of me. That helped. How did you get here today? It wasn't your stamina or your will or your, you know, resolve. It was the Holy Spirit inside, constraining us, as Paul says, I've got to go. I've got to be with my brothers and sisters. I've got to do this just in case, whatever that was. But as every man has received the gift, so you've got that gift of the Holy Spirit, and this will feed into our study in gifts today. Even so, minister the same, manifest them. Minister means utilize them. Don't just, you know, they weren't made for us to hold in here and say, look at me. I speak in tongues. And I go off and I believe in tongues. Don't, and you know, it's a gift of God. And that gift hasn't passed yet along with all the other ones as some people, well, that was for the apostles and the disciples and those. No, it hasn't. It hasn't passed yet. God still wants these gifts manifest so that the world, those in our own little world, our family and our friends and our people that are in our workplaces, that they might see Jesus, not us. And that's where I think these gifts that we're going to speak about today, they've kind of been sidelined because there's been such an abuse of them. And then there's people who are afraid of them because they've, what's going on with that one? Let's just get it down to a very simple understanding today of what's God's purpose in these gifts. And I think right here he gives us a little hint. So minister the same one to another. We're almost like a practice field. This is like boot camp. You know, you're not in that real war yet, but we're practicing on one another. If you've got a word from the Lord, give it to me, please. I want to hear it. Sometimes my brain goes so loud, I can't hear what he's trying to say. I'm so caught up in the things out there in that world that it overpowers his still small voice. Minister one to another. And I think once we feel that freedom in the gifts of the Holy Spirit within our body of Christ, we can step out there and not worry what somebody's going to think about us. Not worry about, you know, that guy must be a nut. He thinks God is talking to him. He thinks God is talking through him. Minister one to another. Get comfortable. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Father God, help us to hear and see those things that you would have for us today. Still us, quiet us from all the joy, all the blessings, all the sadness in some cases that came with this season, Lord. Help us to focus on you. You are alone worthy of our praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go to Hebrews in chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, we're going to be looking today at verses 4 through 6. We were in 4 last week. We wove that into, or God wove it into our Christmas service, again, like I started with, that Jesus, he was the fulfillment of all of this, but he's still giving those gifts out. And I want us to, they're so crucial for a church today, I don't think we understand how important the gifts of the Holy Spirit are to our existence, our, you know, growth. God, verse 4, also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. For unto the angels has he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And if we get to the end of the sermon, I think the Word of God gives us that answer. See, the psalmist had that same question who are we, Tommy, that God would save guys like us, women, children? Who am I that I should deserve something like this? Sometimes we get annoyed at God because he's not doing something that we think we deserve. But yet he's poured his grace out on us. He's poured his mercy out. Poured his love out on us. What more do I need? The real answer scripturally is nothing, because it says that he's already given us everything that pertains unto life and godliness. We can make it through this world because of him. But with the psalmist, I ask that same question, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that you would visit him, that you would send Jesus into my life? I think should be a question for us. And the writer of Hebrews is referring to Psalm 8. I won't go there today, but read Psalm 8. That's what he's referring to. Psalm 8, verse 4 says that. What is man that you're mindful? The Son of Man. There's such the dots, remember? Let's start connecting those dots. So signs and wonders, as we're in our text in verse 4. We looked at the signs and wonders. We covered those. Miracles. I feel miracles still happen. I feel. Anybody doubt that? I don't know. Look around a little bit. We've all either seen or probably heard of a miracle. My brother, who's passed on to be with the Lord, Teddy gave a sermon here probably 20 years ago, 25 years ago, about miracles. My brother was born with osteolaminitis way back. And he got it when he was born with it. He contacted it at 7. And what happened was his leg was probably about 4 inches, 3-4 inches shorter than his other leg because it eats the ball out of there and the hip socket just gets destroyed. Well, he gave the sermons that miracles happen sometimes so slowly that we don't even recognize them. So Teddy lived from 7 years old until, I guess he was in his 40s when they came up with this great scientific wonder called a hip replacement. But it was a miracle of God. Man did it, figured it out, but God kind of talked to whoever that was and said, look, if you just do this and this, this will work. Well, Teddy got a hip replacement. For the first time in his life, he could tie his own shoe because his leg wouldn't bend, and he could walk without almost falling over on one side, and he could do things that he never did. Miracles. Yeah. Miracles. But you know what we want today are those flash in the pan miracles. We want them like right now, don't we? Right this minute. Right this minute we want a miracle. And I'm speaking from experience. You know, my daughter, our daughter, Pat, you know, Dee, most of you know her, at 49 to die of cancer. Couldn't I have a miracle for everything that I've done? Oh, isn't that our thoughts? What? And I wish he would have said, what have you done? We all want to see a miracle, but you know, let's not give up. They're happening every day. Look at this. That's a miracle. You're in the medical field, Kate, Jerry. How does that work? Breath. What a miracle. Water. What a miracle that would do my body. Food. What a miracle. You know, and if you don't think food is a miracle, I watch those people in Afghanistan and other places scrounging for just a sip of water, food. We're surrounded by miracles every day, but they're not so flashy that we miss them. And I hope God will just put that into my spirit. So today we're going to look at gifts out of verse 4. Gifts of the Holy Spirit. And like I said, those gifts have not passed. If we look, and maybe we'll get there in 1 Corinthians, I think it's in 13, when he who is perfect will is come, then we won't need those gifts anymore. He came one time, but he's coming again. So until that time, because we see darkly, because we know in part and we understand things in part, he gives these gifts now. And then when he comes, there's not going to be any need for that because we'll know as we're known. He'll be right there. So signs and wonders, miracles, but the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Put something in there and turn to Ephesians, if you would, chapter 4. Now, two of the best, there's a lot of gifts, and I see, after 40 years of preaching, I haven't seen everything, and I don't mean to say that, but boy, we have sure seen some things go out of order. When it's the gifts of the Holy Spirit, it becomes a dog and pony show. It becomes where we, finite man, command God to show up in an arena in Texas where busloads of people can come and look at that person more so than look at the person who gave that gift. There's been an abuse. But these gifts, like I said, the greatest ones we're here is God's grace that he's given to us and his Holy Spirit. After that, he gives them severally as he wills, seeing who will be responsible for this gift. He doesn't want to just give a gift that we're going to run out there and make a big example of ourselves. He wants to see stewardship. He wants to see that administration, that it's responsibly done. that it's done decently and in order, as his word says. So Ephesians 4, if you are there now, let's just look at 7 through 16. Word of God, and don't, you know, read these when we have time this week. We all have time. And I say, how many of you have watched just a bad show, not bad language or anything, just it was terrible for 3 hours, and then the screen goes black, and you sit there, and what was the ending? We do that. Just spend some time with God this week. Read the rest of at least chapter 4 in Ephesians. But in verse 7, it says, "But unto every one of us is given grace." I feel that's the greatest gift of the Holy Spirit. Once we become a believer, God gives us that grace. That grace excuses our sins. That grace, it doesn't overlook. It's not like God, but God can work in us, through us, and for us in those areas. We've been given this grace, the greatest gift of the Holy Spirit, and I don't hear that. When I first got saved, I used to hear, you know, have you ever touched anybody and they fell down? Do you speak in tongues? Have you ever healed anybody? And that's where I started to, what are we looking at here? Are we looking at man? Or are we looking at a church? I'm looking through the old eyes of a cop. I want something that's real. I want facts. I don't want a hearsay. I want something that I can grab onto. And here the Lord is saying, but every one of us that are a believer has been given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Whereof, he says, where he ascended on high and he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, verse 9, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? That he descended. It's the same also that ascended up far above the heavens, that he might fill or fulfill all things. And he gave some. So here's some of these gifts. And I want us, I don't want you to listen to Doug. Well, Calvary Chapel and Doug believes this. Get to God's word. See what God wants us to have in our hearts and mind. He gave some. Apostles, definite group of apostles. To a slight degree, you and I are apostles. All that means is one sent. We're being sent out. Every one of us is sent out in one way or another to our families, to our workplaces. But here he gave these gifts. Well, he gave apostles to some prophets, to some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Fivefold, sixfold ministry, how you want to look at it. But just the thought, who am I? Pastor, right? Did that pass then? The answer is no. Teachers. Craig Jones is visiting his family today. He's a teacher. Every one of us should be. Has teachers passed? No. So all the other gifts, the sign gifts that we sometimes abuse, every one of them are still in effect. But he gave pastors and teachers and these other gifts, verse 12, for what reason? That we might go on a roadshow, that we might have a house filled with people waiting to see God move. And I fear that that's what's happening in a lot of our churches today. We don't come for Jesus Christ. We just come for those miracles. We want to see something. We want to see a wheelchair come up the aisle. And, you know, if God wants to do that, get out of the way. Leave that aisle open. Don't stand in his way. But right now, I'm here that I get to know him more and more than I did last year, so that when he presents these things, either in our body or somewhere, there's not going to be a question in our mind or our heart. But the reason, like I said, is for the perfecting of the saints, not for Colosseums being filled just on a special weekend. For the work of the ministry. What's the work of the ministry? Preaching the gospel, period. That's the work of the ministry. Too many of us get caught up in busyness and these feelings that I've got to do this or do that. Just The whole purpose of our gifts is for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, to build up the body of Christ, to strengthen one another with the gifts. And I've said it, and I don't say it as some tactic to bring guilt or whatever. I need the individuals, the hearts that could still be here, not the ones that move, not the ones that are sick, because God gave you a gift that I need. You might have heard something this week or saw something this week that I need in my life. That's why we need each other in the body of Christ. That's what these gifts are for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come, verse 13, in the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro. We should be strong in our doctrine now. We should be firm in what we believe, no matter what anybody else says to us. And that we won't be carried around with every wind of doctrine. And, you know, I'm pleased that that, to a degree, has stopped. But if you think back 10 years ago, there were doctrines that were running through the churches in America that were just unbelievable. The laughing in the spirit and, you know, there's nothing funny about what's going on outside this door right now this morning. This should bring tears to us. There are people who are spinning into eternity, going to hell, because they haven't heard. Some, maybe they've heard and don't want to believe, but they haven't heard. I've kept my mouth shut. I've talked more about a Ford over a Chevy or a Dodge over, you know, a Hyundai. They don't make Wegos anymore, do they? Yugo, that's, if you have two Yugos, you got a Wego. You put everybody in there. That's what we talk about. That's what we talk about. The time, remember what we heard from Peter? The time is short. The time is at hand. God's saying, occupy, occupy till I come. And that word occupy, and I hope you remember that, it's a Greek, it's a military term. It means put a circle around yourself. Occupy that space. Don't go try to get a whole bunch of new land. Don't back out of that circle. Just you stay where I've brought you, and you occupy that space. So like it until you either throw me out or God says I'm going to stand here. That's my space. I'm going to occupy it on Sunday. Then when I get home, I'm going to make sure that my great-grandchildren understand who Jesus Christ is, because that's all they've got in this world. And our children and those that we say we love, that's our occupation, if you would, in this world. That's what we're supposed to be doing, so that we're not carried about by every sleight of men, cunning, craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, that we might grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, we need each other. Sometimes in churches I hear, boy, am I glad he left. Boy, am I glad she's gone. That was just a, what? We say that in our humanness, but Christ is saying we're one body. We're supposed to love one another. We're supposed to keep doing this until the whole body is fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. You supply me with a gift. I hopefully supply you with a gift according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. And not to be gross, and you've heard it, you know, some people, what's the purpose of, you know, nose hairs or a mustache? What's the purpose? But every part of a church that's in Christ has a purpose. Every one of them. And Howard, who's gone on to be with the Lord, you guys know. I asked Howard one day, he was a rocket scientist that worked down at NCAR, put the Hubble telescope where it belongs and everything. And I asked Howard, I said, what's the purpose of nose hairs? And Howard was almost flawed. Doug, that's your body's filtration system. And then he went on a, you know, what do they call those? A doctrinal thesis on nose hairs for me, you know? Wow! Every one of us are important in God's order. Till every one of us, every part makes increase of the body unto edifying of itself in love. And that's not numbers. That's just that we're strong enough to get ready for this battle that we're going into. We are heading in for a fight. We're heading into a time that we've never known before. And there's going to be parts of it that, yes, God is going to require us to step up. There's going to be other parts, like in 2 Chronicles 20, when he says, no. This battle is too hard for you. This battle is mine. Stand, remember? Don't give up. Don't bail. Don't say, what's the sense? Watch the salvation of your Lord. Miracle, gift, sign, wonder. Teddy's with us. Cancer, he's here. Jerry, you know, who couldn't make the choir on Sunday because he was back in the hospital, but here you are today. So that's a sign and wonder. God's saying, I'm not done with you yet. And we should be looking at that and be as thankful as we ever could be that our brother is still here. That our brother is still here. And those that are suffering at home, we might just, where's Taffy? Praise God, bless you for the gift of, we're going to get to that. I'm rambling. I'm already done. You were with Taffy, I found out. Bless your heart for going over. Taffy can't make service. Michelle goes over there, puts the service on the TV for her. Taffy is, but see these, can we see these little gifts of the Holy Spirit that just, for some reason, are getting passed over? We want the big stuff, the big stuff. How can I give you 5 to 6 more scriptures that are going to take an hour? Can I do one more? Turn to Romans. And maybe this will increase each one of us to get into the Word and study it a little bit more this week, or look into the gifts and the purposes of these gifts that we so overlook. Romans 12, 6 through 8. And by no means is this a conclusive of all the gifts, because we still need to go into Corinthians and whatnot. But let's just look at Romans 12, 6 through 8 today. Every one of us, as we've heard, we have the gift of grace. God poured his grace out in salvation. What a gift. What a gift. I was watching with my great-grandson. I was watching Polar Express, and Ree, you said you watched it. Remember when that kid got, I don't know if you've seen Polar Express, he got that ticket. And boy, was he happy. And I started, as I was looking at it, and I thought, God, you gave me that ticket. Just like Corrie Ten Boom, if you remember, riding on that train. And she wanted to hold the ticket, remember? And she'd ask her, Father, Papa, how come I don't hold the ticket? And he'd tell her, because you might lose it before the conductor comes. But I started thinking, we've been salvation. That's God's grace. That's salvation that he's given to us, that entrance into heaven. And then he, not only that, he could have left us floundering on our own. He gives the Holy Spirit, kind of like the cherry on the top of a sundae. So Ephesians 4, 7 through 6. No, better go up to 4. What did I say? Romans 12. I'm getting excited. I'll slow down. See. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of the other. Get your mind around that this week. When somebody stumps their toe, we should say, ouch. Because when I stump my toe, it's all in one bat. You don't go yelling, ow, I don't hear you, right? You laugh. See? That's Rick and I have that kind of mentality. Sorry, that's what God gifted us with, right? We should be that close. That's how close we should be. But yet we find fault with one another. We get annoyed with one another. We just don't even want to talk anymore with one another. Wow. God is just saying we're all one body. And all the members have not the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of the other. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, and prophecy is, you know, there, you look at prophecy, and the prophets, they spoke of a coming of Jesus. They spoke of things that were going to happen. Isaiah that we had, 800 years before the event actually happened, prophets were speaking, even though they didn't realize what really was being said. They were speaking that. Prophecy today, yes, God might grant that prophetic utterance in some event, but it's speaking the word of God intelligently so that the common individual, which every one of us was, he'll give that gift to us that we can speak his word, understanding it, being able to speak it to somebody without worrying, how do I speak to an alcoholic? How do I speak to a drug addict? How do I speak to a homosexual? You speak the word of God. You put that word out intelligibly, and that's prophesying. And so these are some of those gifts that, and these are called the seven motivational gifts, if you want to scratch that one in someplace. But we're all members, having gifts that differ. And if you're given that gift of prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Some of us can speak just a little bit about it, and then we've got to back up. Others, you see that guy that stands out in our town with the sign, Jesus Christ? He's down in Boulder, then he's up in here. He's been given an unbelievable amount of faith in that, in which he does. But all we have to do is say, God loves you to somebody. God loves you. Well, what about this or that? What would you like to look at that? Prophecy. Such a simple, we're thinking it's so grandiose. Speak God's word with intelligence. Or ministry. Let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teaches on teaching. Or he that exhorts on exhortation. And he that gives it, let him do it with simplicity. He that rules with diligence. He that shows mercy with cheerfulness. And it goes on and on. And I'm going to bring this part, maybe we'll continue next week. I want us to really look at the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because I feel not only the churches that exist that are truly in Christ Jesus, our church needs the gifts of the Holy Spirit manifest within the body so that each and every one of us can come to that measure, to that stature of Jesus Christ. And when we think, well, look at some of the names that are associated with these gifts. Well, I'd ask ourselves, well, first we should stop and not take the 50-question test of what gift have you got. I don't know if that's going around anymore. Jack, have you ever seen that one? But back in the day, they used to give you this list and you'd answer them all and then they'd tell you what gift you had. My goodness. Get into the Word. Read Romans. Let's get into Corinthians chapter 12, 13. We won't do that today. And identify these gifts. See if I have them. And then pray and ask God, God, how can I use this today? Just maybe send me one person. If you've given me this gift. But the gifts that you have are so, in our minds, so simple sometimes that we overlook them. So I started thinking about years and years ago. There's a gift of helps that we'll get into. That's not some real big flash in the pan. Nobody's going to, can I help you load your firewood? Who's going to pay $50 for a bus ticket to go to Coliseum for that one, you know? The gift of helps. And I always go back to Pat, my wife, when Pat used to work at the elementary school. She'd get there early and she'd have, what do they call those things? Scrunchies that you'd put ponytails in or whatever. She'd have a box of scrunchies, she'd have a box of barrettes, clean brushes, a couple, and these girls that were coming that had no breakfast, they didn't get all tuned up for school like some other girls. She always had that. It's a gift of love to begin with, but it's a gift of help, helping that individual feel good, look good. And she'd brush their hair in the morning and put a scrunchie in there and give them a nice little barrette to put on. Well, the school administration stopped that immediately when they found that out. We can't have that here. The gift of helps. How can you help? Thank you. Thank you. Who's missing? Make a phone call. Is there anything I can do for you? When the body starts operating like that, that's when God is going to manifest mightily, mightily. The gifts of administration. Some of you know Tom Neal. Tom Neal is our pastor over at Jamestown. He took that responsibility when that church was going to close. But Tom has been our administrator for 40 years. He can account for every penny that this church has ever taken in. He corrects the bank down there when he brings things in. The gift of administration, yes, that is something. The gift of administration is just unbelievable. The gift of endurance. I started thinking about that myself. This was going to go near the end of the sermon, but the gift of endurance. I look around here and some of you are still here listening to a guy like me, but I pray you're listening to the Lord. The gift of endurance, not giving up, not quitting, not saying, I'm going to go find something else where there's more happening. I'm going to go someplace where they got softball and pickleball. Endurance, you've endured. And some of you beyond the church have endured some situations that are unbelievable. How did you get through that? Susie, how did you get through Jerry's 28 surgeries? The gift of the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ. Nina, how did you hang on and not freak out after watching our daughter die? How'd you have the faith to hang on for Teddy? You know why? Not Nina. Not your Italian resolve, because we know that just is worse than an Irishman, right? Yeah. It was the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's God living in you saying, we can do this. I'll walk with you. The gift of endurance. Don't overlook it. Some of us with our children, how we've endured heartaches and hardships and things said and fears for them. But you're still going. You know why? Because God has given that gift of endurance that we just overlook for all the big motivational and the flash signs. There's so many little ones. And there's a gift of commitment. Commitment not to Calvary Chapel, not to come into church every Sunday, but a commitment to Jesus Christ. What a gift that you haven't given up. You guys, you know, you're not the youngest in this body, but why are you here? Because Mom made us come today. No, I know William better than that, and I know Kalina better than that. It's a commitment that God gives as a gift in our spirit to walk through this world one foot at a time. So as we look at these gifts of the Holy Spirit, and these things, as we see in Hebrews, that God has given to man, that he's just like, hello, I'm here. What more do you want? What more of a sign do you want? What more of a miracle do you want? What more than the indwelling of the Holy Spirit living in me could I ever ask for? So as we look at the gifts of the Spirit, I pray that it encourages us, that we would exhort one another with this. If for one reason, as it used to, you know, we've seen people leave because of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. They got scared. It's nothing to be afraid of. Jesus Christ, that's all. Are we afraid of him? No. So I would encourage us, if you feel God is moving you in a way, if you feel you've got a gift that is beneficial for this church, please exercise it, manifest it decently and in order. We don't want the old days, right, of people running up and down the aisle, dancing and flying around with scarves. You know, if God does that, I'll ask him, but just the gifts. Loving one another, exhorting one another, comforting one another, helping one another. Man, what could stop us if we get that into our spirit? So, Father God, I've mumbled a lot, but your gifts, Father, are beyond anything that this world can ever offer to any one of us, Lord. Help us as we go about our lives. Each one of us in our own way, our own families, our own little circles. Help us to just focus this year as it's coming, Lord, on you. Seeing what it is that you have in store for us. Stepping out, Father, a little bit more than what we have in the past. Not leaning on our own understanding that we've seen that before. Oh, that'll never work. I don't know. Father, help us step out in belief. Help us, even though we don't see at times, that we would look even further into those things that are unseen, and that it would increase our belief and our faith. So we love you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for sending Jesus. May we just close out the rest of this year with thoughts of him. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Romans, Corinthians, Ephesians, get into there. There's gifts like, phew, unbelievable.